Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Conversations with Good Brothers Talk Show. Back with another one. Welcome back, everybody. All of our new listeners, welcome. My name is Sean Francis Coleman.
And this is Darnell Ramsey. Welcome, everybody. As always, thanks for your support. We give thanks for your support.
Yes.
We've got a very, very good conversation, as always, scheduled for tonight. But, you know, so much has been going on over the last week or so. So much stuff, man. Well, anyway, tonight we're going to talk about one of the things that we want to talk about. And it's one of your good things, one of your sayings from Gandhi, talking about, you know, being the change that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and I say, you know, being the change that you want to be as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, right. You know, you have to take accountability for the change that you want, take responsibility for the change you want, and pour forth the effort.
Right.
So, but I know that's one of the things you always talk about. I know that that resonated in your mind, I guess, when you read it from one of Gandhi's quotes or one of Gandhi's books. You've been saying that for a while, really, about that phrase to my attention, man.
Yes, yeah. I know that it seems like quotes, you know, sometimes quotes, they meet you at different parts of your life.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that met me when I was about 24 years old. But as I had time to marinate on it, not only is it be the change that you want to see, but like I always say, before you get a want, there's things that you need to do.
Mm.
So it really is being the change that you need to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, I know we just we sent out a little blurb, you know, on Facebook, you know, a quick little, video. And you asked, you know, do we want that change?
Do we?
You know what I mean? That's one of the things that, you know, we got to ask ourselves, because really that's a question you got to ask, you know, you really got to ask yourself.
Right.
And it depends on what stage you are, because I think we go through several stages.
Right.
You understand? So, you know, one thing is inevitable is change.
Right.
But whether you want to accept it or not.
Right. Right.
There are some people who get stuck. You know what I mean? I see some 60-year-old cats still acting the way, you know, acting like they did in 20, you know, in their 20s. So, you know, some people do resist change. But one of the things that's very interesting, man, you know, on a sad note, so when I was in corporate America, man, I remember as a company, you know, as a, you know, Fortune 500 company, we were going through some transition.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, you know, put a, you know, an emergency workshops in place regarding change.
Mm.
And that always resonated, you know, with me. I'm like, damn, we traveling all the way from, know, Pittsburgh to California to talk about change. You understand? It was, you know, it was probably like a 3-day workshop, you know, because usually we used to travel during, you know, quarterly events to get some training.
Mm-hmm.
But for this particular training, you know, they brought in this consulting company and all they did was talk about change. And, you know, that really stuck in my mind because I'm like, wow, you know, they put forth an effort. But, you know, as we hear it is 10 plus years, you know, 10 years later, I'm saying why they did it. You
okay.
know what I mean? Because change is not something that people necessarily want to go through.
Right.
So you almost got to hold people's hand
right.
to walk them through change sometimes.
Right.
So you know, that was one of the things that we talked about this session, but I, you know, I recollect on some early experiences like, wow, this billion-dollar company put together, because they knew that these corporate people were going to resist it.
Right.
So they had the foresight to see like, hey, man, we need to, you know, get some workshops or get a seminar put in place so, you know, we can talk about change and, you know, have some training on change. And I'm like, wow, that's very interesting. But people don't necessarily want to change. You know, they don't go with change. And I forget. I always tell people about that was a comment. I think it was from Carnegie or one of the older guys. Like you said, quotes, man. And one of the things he talked about, he was like, you know, the most successful people are not the people who work the hardest or the smartest.
Mm-hmm.
He said the most successful people are the ones who adapt to change
right. The
quickest.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And that was crazy, too, because he said not the smartest
right.
or the person who worked the hardest.
Right.
The most successful people
right.
are the ones that adapt to change the quickest. Because we're sitting around with something changing
right.
in me, and I like to get personal with me. I'm one of those people who historically has fought change.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm going to do it my way. This is how we do it.
Right.
But as you get older, you know, and you know, sometimes you should fall on concrete. You got the big green knots coming out your head
exactly.
that want to hurt.
Exactly.
You know, when you don't adapt to change and when you don't go with change, sometimes those are the type of life knots
yeah.
that you get on your head. So, you know, it's best to go with change.
That's interesting that you say that with the Mayweather fight coming up. and you say Nas, because one of the things as I watch Mayweather, you know, they always ask him, well, are you afraid of this guy? He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. He's just as fast as you. And he always say, look, you could be bigger than me, stronger than me, just as fast as me. So one thing that you're not going to be in the ring, you're not going to be smarter than me. He said, I know how to adapt. He always talk about, he said, I've seen almost every type of fighting style. And that's why Mayweather loses sometimes the first three rounds, because he's learning his opponent's rhythm. And then he adapts to you. And you got so many fighters. Like, you know, when I'm in the ring, people are fighters like me. I want to impose my style. I don't want to change. I want to impose my style on you. And sometimes what happens is that because you can't adapt, like, you get hit. You know, you get some things that if you would adapt, you might not have got hit. But I don't want to. My coach used to always say, Sean, look, I know you want to do this, but if you do what I tell you, you won't get hit. And I'm like, all right, I go out there. I go back.
Yeah.
I got you, coach.
That's the same thing we tell our parents.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah.
When they say that one thing going in and out the other area, man, that is so true in life, man.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm building with a brother today, man, and we're talking about, I'm always talking about finances, man. You know, that's part of my thing. But you know, we're talking about how do people build wealth. You understand? And so many times, for one, we're not given a blueprint, first of all. So we have to go and educate ourselves regarding how to build wealth. But secondly, you understand, we always trying to, your point, we're always trying to reinvent the game.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Instead of adapting or adapting to the game that's already put in place.
Right.
You understand? We trying to, like, nah, I'm gonna take my street smarts and play the corporate game.
Right.
You know, based on my street smarts. And like, dog, you gotta lead that or adapt your street game.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Change it around a little bit and make it work for you in this corporate America. And that's one of the things that have caused me some frustration and some headaches in my younger years that caused, I'm sorry, past tense. That caused me that, because I wasn't willing to change or adapt my ways to the necessary system that's in place. You understand? And man, this guy was talking about, he's very, very knowledgeable, man. Brother I grew up with, I'm just, you know, as we build it, I'm like, wow, man. You know, all that come forth, and we'll talk about that today, when, you know, what's going on in Baltimore, you know what I mean? We still using our old traditional get mad ways.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
You know, ever since my mom was talking about that today, man, you know, my mom was around when Martin Luther King passed away. You understand what she was saying? Like, we still burning down stuff when we get mad.
Right.
This is 46 plus years ago.
That's
my mom's still talking about that. We still burning down things
right
when we get mad.
Right.
You understand? And,
right.
There's a lot of Facebook stuff going on, and I'm commenting on people's posts, which I usually don't do. But, you know, it's just showing some growth for me, because when I finish sending these posts out, I'm like, wow, darn, that was you? You know what I mean? Because I used to be a type of brother who was emotional and not necessarily strategic in my planning.
Yeah.
But you have to change.
Yeah.
You have to change your ways as you mature.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're going to talk about, you know, necessary change and how you have to be the change you want to see. So
right.
If I'm telling a brother, you know, do it this way, you're like, hold up, darn, I'm like, you used to throw bricks.
Right.
You understand? But now he's seeing me change, so I'm actually being the change that I want to see. You understand? So I have to make some adjustments to how I went about doing things. But
That actually sparked an idea in me, you know, in the sense that we talked about don't reinvent the wheel. But then we started to go on with your point, you know, you ain't got to reinvent the wheel, but just reinvent yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because when I'm looking, look at the rap game, anybody who knows me, from back to 2003, and I fell in love with Jadakiss's style, like, 2001, you know what I'm saying, for, like, 7 years, man. Like, I was fighting people. Like, if you ever said something about Jadakiss, like, I literally would have punched you in the mouth, you know what I mean? But you fast forward to today, Jadakiss has not been able to adapt his style of spitting. And you look at Jay-Z, Fabolous, all these other cats, they reinvented themselves. And they didn't necessarily change their core, but they changed the way that they go about doing things. You know what I'm saying? That might be an example that most people can't get with, but that's what it's, you know what I'm saying, it's birthed in me. I did want to talk about your point when you talked about corporate America, because I think that there was a couple of different things within that. When you talk about change, who was the ones that was, you said had the foresight, and who was the ones that was bringing in the change? the cats at the top with the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look in that story. Who was the one that was able to see, like, yo, in the next 10 years, it's going to be like this. So we need to do this. You ain't say that it was...
The workers.
The workers.
Right.
You said it was the people with...
The leadership.
It was the leadership.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? It was the leadership. And I think that that's a whole different thing in itself. You know what I mean? What are some of your thoughts about that?
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, once we get started, man, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go back and then I'm going to come back. But I'm looking like all my, you know, all the old school people remember Atari.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? When I was a kid, when I was, you know, even before my teen years, man, Atari, you're talking about video games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Atari had the game on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Everywhere you went, somebody had Atari in their house. That's probably before you was born, you know, Atari.
Mm-hmm.
But their leadership then make changes and let Sega come in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Sega then come, you know, I guess Sega's PlayStation where they click with all those video games, but Atari had the market the way PlayStation got it locked down now.
Yeah.
Atari had it like years ago.
Okay.
But again, they didn't make the necessary changes and adapt. So that's why leadership, to your point, leadership got to be visionary.
Yeah.
You understand? You got to be able to see, you know, 10, 20 years down the line. And to your point, this reason, you know, Jay-Z, some of the things Jay-Z doing the new thing that he could dial, whatever, you know what I mean?
So whatever,
that guy's always, the brother has always been good on being a visionary.
Yeah.
And some of us, in order for you to be a visionary, you got to be able to see change
and strategically
put a plan in place to adjust to change.
Right.
And that spills on so many different facets of our life. That of us changes certain areas, but, you know, change is necessary in all facets of your life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can be a beast on changing, you know, job-wise, but are you changing in your personal personal life as well?
Mm.
You understand? And sometimes we as men, we don't necessarily change. You know, we still players.
Right.
You know what I mean? We still doing the same things that we did, you know, whether it's chasing women, going out of clubs and doing certain things, spending money frivolously, we still doing the same thing in our 40s that we were doing in our 20s. You understand? So we may have changed some careers. There's some corporate brothers out here who are doing well, going up the corporate ladder, but in their personal life, you see them out in the club, see them out in the streets, they still doing the same exact thing they were doing 20 plus years ago. So to my point, when you change, you need to evolve 360. Don't evolve in this section of your life. Start to evolve in other parts. And that's, you know, coming back to, you know, when you talk about corporate America, some of us need training in that, bro.
Yes, that's true.
You know
true.
What I mean?
That's
real
true.
Talk. Like,
that's
even
true.
Even myself, you know, personally, you know, I'm good on involving some other things, but personally, you know, that's where the training, you know, comes from men, father figures or mentors to help men make those changes in other areas in their lives. And
that's deep.
You know, and there's some benchmarks that, you know, need to be in place, you know, to see that you have changed, to see that you are evolving or adapting and change. But those are the things that we struggle with, man, that, you know, as men, we struggle with how to change in all facets of our life.
I don't think it's always been like that because, well, maybe to a certain extent, but when you look at, like, when you go back even farther back, man, you know, when you look at the Stone Age, and when the Stone Age went into the Iron Age, right, that was an example of if you didn't change, that might have meant death to your whole community. Because if you still are out here with stone weapons, and we come with some iron, guess what? Like, we taking over your village. So if you didn't adapt with the change, we got you. We got you because you still are using stone, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's symbolic.
Yeah, it's symbolic, but it's still going on now.
Right.
You understand? Like, you know, it's symbolic. But, you know, again, that's why leadership is so important, man.
Yeah.
That's where you need to have visionary leadership, you know, that understand what it takes to get the movement or get the people to move toward it, you know, or buy into the change and therefore make the transition or make the movement or make the movement toward change a little bit easier.
Perfect segue, though. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to, if you talk about leaders, I consider, you know, our circle and the people in our circle to be, you know, the leaders and what we do in the areas that we're in. And bringing up this Baltimore thing, man, you're talking about getting people to move in the right direction. What do you think about the Baltimore situation and how does that come into the situation tonight. And really, I would like us to talk about more like challenging people. Like, do you really want to change? Like, your mom was talking about 50 years ago, we still burn stuff today. Like, do we really want to change? Is we still engaging in the same behaviors?
Man, where do you go from that, man? I mean, where do you, how do you get, man, at the Baltimore situation, you know, I was a school teacher down there, and I lived, you know, a portion of my young adult life in Baltimore. So one of the things that I'm not surprised at what's going on in Baltimore, you know, as I tell them, you know, I was getting calls from my family members and friends, you know, given the fact that, you know, I used to live in Baltimore. So for one, from living in Baltimore, I knew when the brother got killed last week, I knew that there was a possibility of this happening. Mm. Now, I didn't know it was going to get to this extent, but when you're talking about a city that has a predominantly black culture or a predominantly black population, this will happen. You know what I mean? This is not Ferguson. You know what I mean? This is not, you know, this is not those small towns where a lot of these killings were taking place. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about a major metropolis, you know, a major city. Already has some social ills already.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So this was just, you know, the fuel that broke the back. And right before we came on the air, that a Muslim brother was talking about the situation, about how much pain was going on, and that has been, you know, building up to this point. This is just the straw that broke the bull's back.
Mm-hmm.
So the sad thing is that I remember Los Angeles and Rodney King dad. You know, Rodney King got beat or whatever, and he was, the police officers walked. That, you know, that was my first experience. I wasn't around when the riots of Martin Luther King went down. You know, I was born after that, but you know, I was around when Rodney King, the situation happened with Rodney King, and you know, Los Angeles went crazy. You know what I mean? They burned down, they riot in Los Angeles, and here it is, 20 plus years later. You know, we still having those tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's still going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I stated earlier, I've been, you know, posting on people's Facebook posts, you know, something I usually don't do, but I'm kind of, you know, just giving my little two cents on some of the comments that's been said out there. And, you know, our tactics are still the same.
Yeah, man. That's my take on things, man, because I think that in reference to my question I asked you and building off what you just said, in order for, like, we haven't adapted, like, black people, really all people, but I think black people are the most emotional of people that exist, and everybody has their story, you know. Mm-hmm. When I look back on my aggressive days, I think that for survival, you know, for me to have been able to even be 29 years old today going into my 30s, I had to gain more emotional intelligence, and now when I'm triggered, I have to remove myself emotionally from that situation to make decisions to where I could have killed somebody, and me being in jail, somebody could have killed me. So for survival, because I love myself and because I want to be around, I had to learn how to adapt to these situations. You know what I'm saying? So I think that black people today overall, do you really want to change? Because you're still acting the same way, and really, I think that the problem is that we don't love ourselves. We don't love ourselves. Because in a situation where we all got pain, sister, brother, we all got pain. But whenever you get to that situation where, you know what, I know if I do this, it's going to happen, but I don't matter. We say Black Lives Matter, but really, do I matter? Do we matter? Because if you did, because I know Sean Francis Coleman matters. So I'm going to swallow my pride, deal with the situation without acting like I was 19 years old, but that's an adaption. That's a way that I've, you just talked about how you adapted, you know what I'm saying, with your words. But we have not adapted as a people, man, and I just can't stress it enough in the sense that if you really want the change that you say you want, you're going to have to gain some emotional intelligence.
I like to use that. I like that word.
Yes. You're going to have to gain some emotional intelligence, because really, what I'm seeing in Baltimore, and God bless everybody, God bless us all, but that behavior is telling me that we really don't want the type of change that we say we want.
I'm a pause on that, because we want to come back and build up, because I respectfully disagree that we don't necessarily we don't love ourselves, or we don't want to we have to take a commercial break. But coming back on that thing, we say emotional intelligence. one of the things, there's this movie that I said, a comment is, you know, it's a movie, Belle. It's just a phenomenal movie. But there's a part of the movie when he talks about, you know, one of the quotes that I wrote down, I put it on my, you know, my motivation wall, and it says that, you know, the world is a devastating place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you must learn to control your emotions,
mm-hmm.
to be able to best, you know, restrict yourself from getting caught up into the, I'm sorry, I should have wrote that. He said, the world is a devastating place, but you must learn to get a hold of your emotions, because if you don't get a control of your emotions, the law and love will get the best of you or devastate your world.
Right.
Something to that effect. I know,
right.
I should have quoted it a little bit better, but that is powerful, man, when you don't get a control of your emotions.
Yeah.
When you say emotional intelligence, our emotions get the best of us and cause us to act.
Right.
No, not necessarily out of love, is that we know our emotions get the best of us. Man.
Mm-hmm.
You have to control those emotions. But with that said, we want to come back, and we're going to start there. We got to pay our bills. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll come back. We'll start off from there with on this continued conversation about, be the change that you want to be. Looking forward to having some calls and hear what you all say, but we'll be back after this commercial break with conversations with your brothers.
Come back with us.
Larry McKenzie is the only coach to win back-to-back state titles in the 99-year history of the Minnesota State Boys Basketball Tournament. And now, he is sharing his success and strategies for winning on the court and in life. Basketball, more than just a game, is a must-read for young athletes and their parents navigating the game. Incorporating 10 life lessons, Coach McKenzie shows why basketball is merely a metaphor and a tool that can be used to transform lives. Get your copy today. Go to CoachMcKenzie.com, where a portion of the proceeds will go to support the Above the Rim Sports Foundation, a 501c3 that supports youth sports. Once again, that is CoachMcKenzie.com. Real simple, CoachMcKenzie.com. A must read. Check it out today.
Every day, the world rises, but for those with narcolepsy, sleep at night is challenging, and staying awake during the day is sometimes impossible. Narcolepsy affects 3 million people. Terrifying hallucinations can be confused with reality, and laughter can trigger knee buckle or collapse. Do you rise when the world does, or does your body tell you something else? Talk to a sleep specialist for answers. I'm Julie Fligar, and you're not alone with narcolepsy.
Welcome back to the Conversations with Good Brothers talk show. You're listening to Sean Francis Coleman.
You got Darnell Ramsey. Welcome back. And I slaughtered that comment. I mean, that comment from a movie. But I think it says, you know, they said the world is a devastating place. You must control your emotions if you wish to prevent the matters of both law and love from devastating you.
Okay, yeah.
That's what it was.
That's powerful.
That was a very powerful, you know, he said you must control your emotions to prevent matters of both law and love from devastating you.
Yeah.
You understand? So we look at the situation, you know, speaking of Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's going on is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's wrong. We ain't no ways around it, but obviously, since we're going back to Trayvon Martin 2 years ago, we still dealing with this stuff's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, obviously, the world is devastated. There's no ways around it. That's been happening. Unfortunately, do we think that it's just started happening because we have cell phones?
Right.
Or cell phones
exactly.
is just bringing it to light.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's been going on for years. They're so good at it.
Right.
You know what I mean? How many black lives, I mean, you know, I would like to for somebody to do the research on the black lives they think was taken. Before the cell phone evolution, and we catching them on tape.
Yeah.
Because we can't even count, you know, the middle passes or how many African-Americans or how many Africans lost their lives. So slaughtering black lives been going on ever since we didn't step foot on the Mayflower over here.
Right.
We came over on the Mayflower. Excuse my ignorance. But that's been going on. So the world is devastating. You know what I mean? That's why that comment is powerful to me. So let's live in it. Let's forget about that. You know, that's going to happen. When we talk about, you know, when we learn to control our emotions, because when it comes to law and love, I mean, what kills us black men? The law, as we say it on TV, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And love meaning because it's emotion, whether it's with a female for us, whether we put our hands or whether somebody disrespects us, that is so-called emotion. That's what's devastating us. Mm-hmm. So to this day, we still not controlling our emotion. What's going on in Baltimore is emotional. Mm-hmm. Not saying that, you know, emotions are part of life, man, because you can't suppress these emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't suppress them. Mm-hmm. You guess, you know, as a common city, you got to learn to control them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, you know, I don't think we love each other, you know, I respectfully disagree. I think we love, but I think we don't know how to control our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of us, too many of us,
mm-hmm.
and they're not coming back 360, and they're bringing us 360, when we don't have, you know, I always commend you because of all the black men you've seen in your life. So when we don't have boys being raised into men by credible men such as your father and your uncles, who are you raised by? You're raised by a bunch of women.
Mm-hmm.
Women are a little bit or a lot more emotional than men.
Mm-hmm.
So as young men, we're learning how to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But a man is going to sit you down and say, hey, Sean, lick your wounds, deal with it. That's part of life, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you have a, you know, to be around females, or you know, you're being raised by a bunch of women, they might, you know, have you tap into your emotions a little bit more deeper than need be. So then when you get older, you still emotional. You deal with everything in emotion. And I'm speaking on myself, as you know, for my some of my difficulties in relationships, some of my difficulties on jobs, they've been based on that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a man, but I'm a self-made man. I didn't have uncles and stuff raising me, making me to a man.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So a lot of my dealings with, whether it's on a job or whether it's on relationships, has been from an emotional standpoint. But now that I'm older and more mature, I've learned to get a control of my emotions.
Mm.
You understand? And sometimes people think that I'm not emotional. I'm rough. No, emotions ain't necessarily got to be violent. You know, emotions can be, you can suppress your emotions too.
Right.
You understand? You can be the extreme, but, you know, you have to get in control of your emotions
mm.
and find that balance in emotions. So what we're seeing in Baltimore, the emotions got the best of us, man.
Yeah, I understand why you say that, but I'm going to hold my ground in the sense that I agree with you on the point of we have to control our emotions, because if we don't, our emotions is going to control us, you know what I mean? But I think that when you make the point and say that, you know, we do love ourselves, and all love is a good love, you know what I'm saying? So I still believe that, you know, all love is a good love, man. So when I'm seeing certain things, and again, I'm looking through Sean Francis Coleman's eyes, so I, you know, this is a very subjective perspective, but certain things I'll assess, like there's, how can you love yourself whenever you are engaging in those types of behaviors, whether it's looting, you know what I'm saying, whether it's being in a relationship that you know is bad for you. Like, I love me more than I love anybody else on this earth. You know what I'm saying? Including, and I love my wife, I love my child, but because I love myself so much, I'm able to give so much love. So I guess going back again to your point, man, is that I respectfully, I counter you again and say that when you're at that point, man, where you have a choice to engage in unhealthy behavior or healthy behavior, and one could take your freedom, your privileges, your life, and the other one will extend and you will adapt to it. You know what I'm saying? I think some of us, not just black people, but people in general, go, well, I don't matter anyway.
Mm.
Nobody cares about me.
Mm.
What do I got to lose? That's not coming from a point of self-love at all.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
Okay, because, you know, I like when we get these intellectual things. I respectfully disagree.
Right.
But what about knowledge of self, knowing self?
Mm-hmm.
So can you truly love yourself the way Sean? Because what I'm hearing from Sean knows self.
Mm.
You understand? So Malcolm said, if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. So just because you fall for everything don't mean that you could. You said that a couple, you know, whether it's off, off radio, but you were saying, you know, when I used to say some things about parents not loving their kids,
mm-hmm.
they used to say, hold up, how you know that's not the love they know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. you know, they love their kids. They just think the banner Jordans
right.
loving their kids. Remember I said that if you ain't going up to your school, you
right.
know, making sure your son know how to read, I, you know, I question whether they love, but you have brought to my mind that, hold up, how, you know, they think maybe their love is buying them Jordans.
Right.
You understand? Now, with that said, you know, these young brothers, they love themselves because they act in, you know, in some having some animalistic behavior or some animalistic tendencies. Do they not love themselves? You know what I mean? I think that, you know, when you don't have knowledge of self, you can let some things like that, because if you have that establishing thought saying, I don't care about myself, man, I'm gonna go to jail. Don't necessarily mean you love yourself, don't mean that, you know, you don't stand for anything. You don't necessarily know who you are, where you come from, and the great capabilities within. So did that mean that you don't love yourself? What if, you know, are these young men really taught? No, I keep coming back to some of us didn't have parents.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us didn't even have a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I'm from living in Baltimore, man, I see some things, man. When I, you know, I always tell people, I was in the HBO documentary when I was teaching in Baltimore called The Broken Child, man. And you figured I was in my young adolescent years, you know. And one of the things, if you get the opportunity to watch that documentary is deep. But, you know, I had a whole different appreciation for my mom
mm-hmm.
once I taught in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. You know, I had a whole different appreciation because, and I thought, you know, I grew up in the projects, yada, 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 yada. But when I was in Baltimore, I seen some parents, man, who wasn't involved in their kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
I seen some things, and I'm like, Baltimore was a very devastating place, and it was a very eye-opening experience for me because some of the stuff I seen in Baltimore in the 90s
mm-hmm.
is going on in Pittsburgh now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So Baltimore is light years. Man, I used to see some things in Baltimore, man. This is before cable. This is before internet.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Before, you know, World Star Hip Hop, whatever that show was. Before all this, I used to see some stuff in Baltimore, man, that was mind-blowing to me, bro.
I bet.
I seen some things, and I'm like, I couldn't handle that as an adult. And these kids were handling that at 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the first.
Right.
That was really what I was saying was the first generation of crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because crack came out through the 90s, so now these babies were popping up in the early 90s, and I'm seeing the devastation of that. So parents are not, man, I can't even fathom
mm-hmm.
not having a mother, bro.
I guess, you know, I'm glad that you brought it, you know, God's energy is so creative that he sparks different thoughts, because you brought up a point that I said. And I was actually, before you said, I was going to bring up a point that you said that I've actually used when I worked with the young boys in the juvenile detention center. You had said one time that when you hate yourself, it's easy for you to point a trigger at another man
right.
and kill him. So when I told the young boys that, like, it went silent, right?
Mm.
And one of them said, "Yo, that's real,"
because
I don't really like myself. And he said, "I don't really care about killing or shooting another." You know what I'm saying, dude? Because I really don't like myself. So when the position I'm coming from is saying this, man,
okay.
in the sense that whenever you are not, like, I work every day with people who are coming to my office and I'm suicidal. You know, I wonder what it's like if I just wouldn't be here because nobody loves me. I don't feel like I'm appreciative of God's love.
Mm.
You don't feel appreciated. So when you come up from a place where you don't feel like you're getting validated, when you come from a place where you feel like the world's not appreciating you, how can you really love yourself fully?
Okay.
Fully.
You see, it's how you thought of it different
way. Fully.
Yeah, fully.
Right, and right.
Before you just said love.
Okay.
Fully. You know what I mean? So that's what you could change the ball game and love. Okay.
But the conversation, you know what I'm saying?
True.
So really, how can you love you when you love yourself? And maybe, you know, I don't know if any of us really love ourselves fully, but if we really want to be Christ-like, if we really want to be, and I'm not saying Christ-like coming from a Christian or whatever, say, I'm talking about, you know, being God-like.
God is love.
Right.
Right.
So if you up at the top pinnacles of self-love, like, really, you have to overcome so much. And yes, to your point, you got to have, like, I had a stable family growing up.
Mm.
Always got love. It's always a love. So I know that from that point,
okay.
if you have that situation, you had a better playing field.
Right.
But you got to overcome so much. I really can't look at not just black people, but a lot of people that say that they have self-love whenever you feel like, well, you don't even feel appreciated.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You run around with 9 other dudes or 8 other girls who don't feel appreciated. You know what I'm saying? So now you might have a strong liking. You might say you love that person, but really, how can you love somebody at 40% and you claim that you love them 100%? You've never experienced 90 to 100% love.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so bringing it back to the Baltimore thing, Brother Darnell, I'm just saying that I don't see if people who are telling me that you love self whenever you're not behaving in ways that are gonna create a situation where your kids are gonna be, you're gonna be here, or your kids are gonna be here. Because if you're taken out of here, you're done. You're done.
Well, one of the things that the Baltimore media, you know, the mayor and some of the people, like, we're losing sight of, because also that television is showing the thing. So you got some hooligans going on.
Right.
Baltimore, there's over a couple hundred thousand African Americans down there. So yeah, you picture it on the 500 mob,
right?
But that don't mean like
right.
the whole city
right.
love themselves. So
right.
let's make you know, let's
great point.
Make sure we emphasize that. I want to make sure we emphasize
yeah,
that because
yeah.
the media is gonna have us that we're hooligans.
Right.
They don't show you the brother that we watched before we got on the air,
right.
or they don't show you the, you know, the churches and the gang members. All the people who are trying to, you know, cease this mayhem. Nobody talks about that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, the media is a hyperbole sells.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The whole we supposed to nobody want to see a peaceful march.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know,
mm-hmm.
Not too many people want to see a peaceful march.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see this madness just to say, you know what? They're animals. So let's not get it misconstrued that there's a lot of people down there who's not with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just, it's a small percentage, very small percentage.
Oh, yeah, the news is going to load up.
Yeah, so I don't want Baltimore to get a bad, you know, bad name saying that, you know, everybody down there, because the city, if it was 25-50%, that city will be shut down. There's so many African-Americans down in Baltimore. But I'm coming back to the point that, tie some of these things in is that a lot of times change calls for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Change calls for being able to really look at trying to look at yourself in the mirror and doing some self-reflection, man. That's hard, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, if, you know, this is all I know, because to your point, what if you don't know this? If you didn't do no love, then you gotta change your whole mindset. You gotta do some research. You gotta go tap into your inner self. To bring about this change that you want to see. How do you know that?
Yeah.
Well, how do you see that? Well, how are you able to do that if you're not willing to put forth the effort,
yeah.
you know, to get this, to cause this change to come about? And that's one of the things that, you know, when I say love, I don't know, we always talk about, you know, we don't necessarily encourage, but I'm thinking that it takes a lot of courage to really change some things that you, or it takes a lot of hard work, because if you didn't see this type of love, you got to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You got to find it. If you didn't know, President Obama was saying the reason, one of the things that he liked about Michelle, man, because he's seen the family structure.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's the reason why he fell in love with Michelle,
mm-hmm.
because that's something that he didn't have.
Right.
So he was like, wow, when you see that. But again, look at it. That's why he's the president of the United States, because he was willing to put forth the work to make that change. Yeah. But now that, you know, you just can't throw that visionary or that seed on everybody. Not all of us is built the same.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So, you know, but that is the type of thing that, you know, you got to be willing to put forth the all-out effort to create this change, man. And that takes some discipline, man. And that's what we lack in, too. This, because change says, hey, man, I want to change it. So what I got to do, I got to almost refocus and reinvent myself, to your point, because we constantly got to reinvent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if all you know, and you made a point, if all you know and all you hang around is a certain way, who's encouraging you?
Yeah.
And who is really motivating, and also, our partner when we change too.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you change, man, you got to change your environment and everything with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So that's all
right.
You know.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, if that's all you know, are you willing to do that, man?
You know, you brought up a point about people in the community and like our involvement and helping. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight, and to kind of focus on that, these quote unquote helpers in the community, because I think that when you really talk about like real change, like you got 100 like. Pittsburgh, yo, we got like 150 different like organizations like in every community. You know what I'm saying? Like 150, and they all got 20 people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and still there's a shooting every other day. So I'm wondering, like, what is the effect of this? And really, is it really about you helping, or is it really about you? Because then I see the people on TV, you know what I'm saying, standing like Martin Luther King in Rosa Parks. You know what I'm saying? They're just, you know what I'm saying? They tell them to stand. I'm not hating at all.
real talk.
I'm not hating at all, trust me, because I support everybody having a dream, but sometimes we exploit the violence that is going on in the community for our own benefit. So sometimes real change, dude, is taking a step back and saying, I'm not going to help you at all. This is just like how your mom came up the crib, like, yo, there's nothing more I can do for you. You on your own now. We got all these people in the community, man, and then some of the people who, you know, we talk to, these people do not have great character, man. You do everything, like you up there teaching, you up there talking, you up there, you know, fighting for the community. But when you talk to them one-on-one, you see that, wow, your character, like, you have, not only because we all have character flaws, but I bet if people knew what you were saying and doing right now, I wonder if you would really be as credible of an intellect. So we got to start, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole bunch of people who call themselves, I know we all want to help, but how we, you know what I'm saying?
Social services.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, like, we really, like, there are a lot of people. It's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. Some of the people who are out here in the community fighting and calling themselves public organizers, community organizers, they are some of the most detrimental people to the community, man. We don't talk about it, man. We don't talk about it.
I gotta add on to that, but we got a commercial break that we gonna come. We gonna touch on that, because that is, yeah, that's something that, you know, we tap dance around.
We did. Yeah.
We tap dance around, but no. Again, we got to go to commercial break to pay our bills, and we gonna come back on the last segment, last part of our segment to discuss with Sean talking about, you know, some of our community leaders,
mm-hmm.
and some of their off camera antics. That's what I call it. I'm gonna try to be politically
correct. Right.
But we'll be back with our conversation with good brothers again. Thank you as always for tuning in, and looking forward to ending this show with some good feedback from you all. See you after the commercial break.
CH3 Radio is looking for new radio show hosts and new radio show formats. If you're interested in hosting or co-hosting your own show and looking for a great platform to share your personality and perspectives, the EX3 Radio Network is the place to be. When you become a part of us, you become family. Email us today at expectedendentertainment@gmail.com for more details. That's expectedendentertainment@gmail.com. Or visit EX3 Radio on Facebook. Excellence speaks for itself. Experience it. EX3 Radio.
Oh, wow. Welcome back.
Well, remix, yeah.
Welcome back to the show, y'all. Welcome back to the conversation.
God.
Brothers.
World. Shit, remix.
Hey,
wasn't ready for that, man.
Brother Darnell, man, is the clown, man. He's the best, man.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, right before you. With the commercial break, Brother Sean brought up a good point about, you know, some of our leaders in our character, some self-promoted leaders, for one. But two, you know, their character off camera, and I call, you know, sometimes we call some of them, you know, excuse my French, but media whores.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Whenever there is a camera, we want to be seen, because we self promote ourselves, and soon the cameras are gone, we're gone too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's necessary to put any infrastructures in place. And one of the things that I've been talking about, you know, recently, going back to, you know, the change, and, you know, last time we had any real change. I love history, but the last time we had, like, the real strategic change was the Civil Rights Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a brother here in Pittsburgh, Brother Muhammad, you understand, Brother Victor Muhammad. And one of the things that I had a conversation with him a couple months ago, man, and one of the things that he enlightened me on that totally overlooked, that he was talking about, you know, the way, how you create real change, man, strategic change, is putting people in positions. You know, one thing about us in our culture, we study running to, you know, congressional seats, or, you know, state representative seats, or, you know, we want to be in Congress in these political seats. But, you know, when I look at the state of Pennsylvania, you don't see any African Americans on the Supreme Court. I mean, Supreme Court. Those are the real power brokers. You understand? Those are the real change makers. So when we think of that, given the fact that those are the people that's in place, and when you look at the civil rights, man, movement, and how we started, you know, how we got some legislation put passed and put through, you know, whether it's Martin Luther King, but one of the people that doesn't go overlooked, and the LU graduate, is Brother Thurgood Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And Baltimore know about this. Thurgood is from Baltimore. You understand? So this brother, you know, 50-plus years ago, man, created some change without even the odds are stacked against anybody. He was a strategic thinker, and he was about it. He wasn't about, burning up and stuff. Okay, you want to do that? I'm going to use your law to get some of the things from my people's past through, but I'm gonna strategically put some things in place or strategically put a great plan in place to get some things put forth. But here it is. We forgot about him, man. We're not even talking. Well, no, we don't. We have Clarence Thomas, but we got to start positioning ourselves a little bit better to get some more, some good mm-hmm. things changed.
Mm-hmm.
And to the brother, I guess the brother we spoke at the TV on, the brother we spoke to, the reporter in Baltimore, the Muslim brother, so eloquently put, like, sometimes this is just the beginning, this movement or this violence that's going on in Baltimore is really bringing to the forefront what's going on and what has been suppressed over a certain period of time. So we necessarily need this. Now we need the strategic thinkers,
mm-hmm.
since we got everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
We need the strategic thinkers to strategize and see how we're going to bring this thing into action.
To fruition, yeah.
Yeah, into fruition and action. Because like Trayvon Martin, we marched up in Ferguson, we marched.
Mm-hmm.
We some marching people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We get our leaders to the point that you make. We get our media whores to come and show and all that. But here it is. I guarantee you it's April, 27th?
8th.
April 28th,
mm-hmm.
by June 18th, there'll be another black murder.
Right.
You
right.
understand?
Right.
There'll be another black man murdered.
Right.
And they'll be right here again.
Right.
This has been going on for 2 years, brother.
Right.
Trayvon Martin.
Right.
What legislation has been passed? What has been put in? There's been a lot of talk and a lot of marching, man. We done laid in streets. We done did all types of stuff. What has changed? I guarantee you in June, by the end of June, you're going to have something else. On tape, and then I'm gonna make it a little bit deeper because we got some brothers that talked about it, but unfortunately we say Black Lives Matter, but we talking about creating real change, Sean, and I get a little bit controversial. So the only time Black Lives Matter is when a white cop kills us.
Exactly, right.
You understand? Right. Black lives don't matter from all the hood killings going on,
right.
All the senseless murders going on,
right.
Amongst one another.
Right.
Black lives don't matter. So you mean to tell me it's okay? And I don't know the statistics in Baltimore. But if you mean to tell me, and I'm from Baltimore, I live in Baltimore for quite a few, I guarantee you there's been, in 2015 alone, I guarantee there have been over 100 murders in Baltimore.
Mm. Mm.
100 murders in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one murder from a cop, committed on a young brother, no matter how unjust it is, it's very unjust.
Mm-hmm.
This caused that.
Right.
What about all the senseless murders that go on in all the cities?
Right. Right?
If we say Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to create some change. For one, we got to create the change within ourselves,
exactly.
Within our own
there
community. And we ain't even got to worry about the judicial system or the police officers doing anything. We're not even controlling, we're not even promoting black lives within our own community.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We're not even striving. We're not even policing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we mm-hmm. expect the law to respect us when we're not even policing ourselves?
Yo, that's so deep because I think our whole conversation tonight actually has elements of the whole, because you talk about reinventing yourself, Brother Darnell. The image, if we really want change as a community, because I'm going to tell you right now, I want change, for myself, for my family, for my circle, for the Darnells, just for everybody that I know and care about. And of course I want change for everybody too, but I can't control what everybody else do.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But that reinventing yourself piece, man, like, going back on a small scale, Sean at 17 and Sean at 29 now, like people who see me now from my past go like, wow, I can't believe you're doing X, Y, and Z because I reinvented myself.
Mm-hmm.
And how I feel myself now is how I would like the world to see me.
Mm-hmm.
How I saw myself at 17 as the person I was then, that's how the world saw me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when you reinvent yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like, and that comes in the sense that, like,
be the change you need to
be. Be the change. And you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
That means that you got to study in school.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we want to put people in place, that means that we got to have a pool of politicians to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep being the bottom of the barrel in education. So if we really want
social
the change, you know what I'm saying? And this to come from a social worker.
Yeah,
you know?
Social worker. Right,
right.
You know,
right.
So, you know what I mean? No.
Right.
Pitt, thank you, Pitt.
But on a real, man, if we really want the change that we want to see,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like no excuses
mm-hmm.
and no Joe joking about, no, we can't keep, you know, being all with the jokes and being smart is corny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, wearing that is corny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? Like, we got everybody. Like, everybody wants to be the same things now. Like, I almost feel like hip-hop, as much as I love it, hip-hop and the whole the Big Brother, all of the negative machine has done a great job at setting us back. I don't know how long, man. And I'm not one of these believers. Unfortunately, I'm not one of these believers that young people are going to become great politicians and protesters as a result of this, just because the machine, you bought into the system.
Mm.
You bought into the system. It's almost like you got to jump into a world that is already getting and doing what you want to do. And it sounds that might sound like, you know, it's not selling out necessarily, but like, you can't waste, you know, I'm not going to waste my whole life trying to convince somebody that this is a better way for you.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, like, I always talk about how there's empathy through apathy. I have empathy for you, but I have apathy because I have empathy for God's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
God got the bigger picture. So if you want to bridge, you like, I want to jump, I'm going to say, don't do that. Please, please. And you jump, I'm going to be sad for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a day. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to mourn,
right,
but I'm going to move on because,
yeah,
I did not
think so.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to adapt to the change.
Yeah.
That's change.
Yeah.
You know, you're no longer here.
Right, right.
So I got to move on.
Right. And that was an executive decision that you made.
Exactly right.
We making executive decisions for like, the weirdest stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like you ain't making no executive decision to do better for yourself,
right,
but you making an executive decision to put yourself in the worst position. So when I see people making decisions like that, I always say it's dangerous to surround yourself with people who don't respect the consequences of their own actions.
Well, you know, again, we always talk about accountability or, you know, being responsible for your actions. You understand, like, we don't promote that, you know what I mean? That's one of the things that me and I was, you know, very, very consistent on the show is talking about accountability,
mm-hmm,
and responsibility. You understand? And that's scary. I know my brother Malcolm used to say, you know what I mean, it's crazy. He was saying that, you know, he fear a man. You know, he has concerns about a man who don't wear a watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, he was like, time is one of the most precious things you have. So you have somebody, of course, Malcolm was 55, 60 years ago, but he was saying that, you know, if you're not conscious of how important time is,
mm-hmm,
then you ain't the type of person want to be around, you know, hence moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not worried about consequences to your negative actions,
mm-hmm,
bro, you're not the type of person I want to be around.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So when you know, to your point, you know, you made a very, you know, eloquent point where we have so many people who are pacifying this type of behavior.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how can you change?
Right.
You understand? If you are not willing to really even accept or even become, you know, or really be knowledgeable of the consequences of your actions.
Right.
Like, how's that movement?
Right.
You know, how do even people buy into that type of movement? But that's the situation we have nowadays where you, like you mentioned, we have groups of people who's on that ignorant movement.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But we got to, you know, in order for us to change, you got to be willing. You got to have the courage to say, yo, bruh, you understand? I don't want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, I'm going to bail out. I'm bail away,
right,
from you. And that's what the young boys or the young men, we got to start making those executive decisions on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because those are executive decisions, too, because you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be ostracized,
right,
you're going to be crucified for making a decision, but you got to have the courage,
right,
to change.
Right.
And it's changing. The change starts within you. You know, we're coming back to, you got to be the change you want to be.
Right.
And changing,
right,
it's hard, man.
Right.
You know, please don't get this conversation confused out, man. It's going to be one of the hardest things you have to do, but it's going to be one of the most rewarding as well.
Right.
And it's something that you're going to continue to practice,
right,
for the rest of your life, because one thing is inevitable, like I stated at the beginning of the show, is change,
mm-hmm,
bro.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't going to be, when, like you said, at 17, you're going to be different at 29.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in hell your teens, in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and 50s, that you ain't going to go through. You're going to be a change agent. You're going to consistently have to change,
right,
in order to make that adapt to what's going on in life, because that club, the music, whatever's going on at 20,
mm-hmm,
it's not going to be the same. I find myself, you know, it's crazy. I'm out in the community today, man, and you know, one thing I tell people, I don't like summers no more, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
because I get tired. You see some ignorant stuff out there,
right?
You see some ignorant.
It's coming out.
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah,
so I'm coming out. Right. You know, somebody riding down, they blasting their music, man. I'm like, that was me 20 years ago.
Right.
Blasting my, you know, my Wu-Tang or blasting my, you know, whoever's hot, my Dos Effects.
Right.
Now that I'm older, man, I'm like, damn, man, that's embarrassing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're coming through, you know, that old, this is a neighborhood. Settle down, man. I'm like, hey, you sound like an old butt. You know, you got to change, man.
Right, right.
And, you know, one of the greatest things that somebody can tell you is, man, you know, when you hear your teachers, like, wow, I would have never thought.
Right.
That's
right.
A great compliment,
a great
man. When somebody see you like, damn,
right,
bro,
right.
You understand, man, I would have never thought, man.
Right.
You changed.
Right, right.
To me, I don't take that personal, man.
Right, right.
You know what I mean, like,
right.
You changed.
Right.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
Man, before we, I know we didn't delve into it, and I don't really bring this up at the end of the show, but I really wanted to talk a little more to the listeners about these things. Because we talked a lot about the masculine aspect, I think, of things, and about the Baltimore aspect. But when it comes to real change, man, like on a universal tip, there's some things that we all could do, right? There's some women out there who are in a relationship that they know that they shouldn't be in. And really, for the betterment of the community, like, there's no, I just don't believe that, because about the cheating, I don't believe that you could be cheating and helping your community. Like, if you decide to tear up your own life, that's one thing. When you start going into other people's houses, that's not helping your community. That's actually doing the adverse.
Mm-hmm.
But on a person-to-person standpoint, you know that he's doing X, Y, and Z, or you know that she's doing X, Y, and Z, but maybe because y'all sex is great.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe because it's a financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know change needs to come, but because you're in a situation and it's safe and it's comfortable and it's all you know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to stay and you're not going to do nothing. That's not helping nobody. It's going to get a little worse
mm-hmm.
before it gets a little better. Another thing, you know, mm-hmm. I think I hit on it was like, debasing and defaming and downgrading people who are doing good in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Making fun of like nerds and all that. Yeah, you know, so you're gonna work for them nerds one day.
Mm-hmm.
So my college coach told me, he said, first on my first day and last day, he said, be nice to the nerds on campus because
mm-hmm.
you will work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, young.
Said that one of his speeches, like, yeah, and that's my whole thing. I ain't even fine because I was always a cool dude. I was always in
right.
the in crowd.
Right.
So there's some of the guys that I'm mentoring now. I'm like, man, be cool with being a nerd.
Bro. Right. Right.
You know,
I was that dude too, bro.
That's crazy. Yeah. I know. I ain't no nerd. You know, lame. But now that you know, nerds are the family men.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nerds
right.
don't have multiple kids by multiple women.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nerds
right.
got good jobs.
Right.
Nerds got good investments.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nerds make okay husbands.
Right.
And, you know,
nerds keep a couple pistols in the crib
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You know,
nerds rule.
Nerds rule. Nerds is a nerd. You know what I mean?
We bring it back, nerds. Nerds is cool. You know, something like this. Be a nerd, all you parents out there. Encourage your son and daughter to be a nerd. You know, I mean, that is our public announcement. Yeah, you know, I know from starting already. Nerds rule. You know,
man. I'm going to get me some suspenders tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. I'm going to bring it back. You know, put the glasses, wrap the paper out of those.
Right.
Change my whole stuff, but on some real stuff, man, you know, we got to promote that, man.
Yeah.
You know, we, you know, young boys are, you know, they smart or, you know, they hide in their intelligence because they'll be ostracized or even some of us, you know, I talked about that, you know, a couple segments ago when we as men
mm-hmm.
or so-called leaders or leaders or whatever in the community, when we meet these young brothers, instead of talking or asking them about their brute, you understand? Challenge them about their grades, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ask kids about their grades. We always say, do you play basketball?
Right,
or, you know,
right, right.
So we promote that. So we got to change our whole mindset when we're dealing with our youth. You know,
yeah.
tell a young lady, you know, challenge her with her dress code.
Exactly.
You know, instead of worrying about what Nicki Minaj is doing, talk about her grades, man.
No, we got a couple minutes left, man, and I agree with you, Brother Darnell. I just, you know, I actually hope that we can, not hope, but we want to come back to this, because there was so much that we left out, man, because, you know, even the whole idea of 40 is the new 20, stop holding on to your youth. Stop holding on to your youth. Yeah, yeah, like you don't want to change. That's a problem with parenting today, is that too many common interests. I mean, come on, like, if you really want to have this change you save for your kids and all that, you can't be your kid. You
mm-hmm.
cannot be your kid. So take a look at your own life. Make those tough decisions. Have the courage to do it. Bring worldly change through your house first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that was my whole message for tonight. We really didn't get a chance to get to it, but that's my message. And I love you all for continuing to tune in. I love anybody who is engaging in self-help, personal development.
Yeah,
you know, invest.
Yeah.
So keep that's change too. You can't buy love, you can't buy change, but you can buy change if you change what you buy.
Mm. Wow. You're always dropping some things, man. We will not be on the air next week live. We'll be back in a couple weeks. But as always, thank you for everything. For the people from Maryland, listen up, man. Continue to do what you're doing out in the community, you know, to spark, you know, since you got the national attention, you know, do what we need to do to start creating some real change. Thank you all again, once again, for supporting us, and give thanks.
Expand your perspective. Hit the website. Buy some products. Thank you.
Improve yourself. See you, nerds.
Oh, come on.